Revelation chapter 4, message to the churches. The messenger's voice echoed through the chamber, his words ringing with a solemn warning that stirred the congregation in Sardis. They sat in tense silence, absorbing the gravity of his message like a heavy cloak draped over their shoulders. To the angel of the church in Sardis, write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." The messenger's voice boomed with authority, his gaze piercing through the shadows that enveloped the room. The listeners held their breath, hanging on his every word. "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." The weight of his accusation settled over the assembly like a leaden shroud, casting a pall of unease over their hearts. Murmurs rippled through the crowd, a mixture of disbelief and realization dawning on their faces. "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die," his voice grew urgent, "for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God." His words cut through the stillness like a sharp blade, urging them to shake off their complacency and rise to meet the challenges before them. "Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent." The messenger's tone softened slightly, a note of mercy woven into his stern admonition. His words hung in the air like a lifeline, offering them a chance at redemption if they chose to heed his call. "But if you do not wake up," his voice grew somber once more, "I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you." The congregation shifted uneasily in their seats, the gravity of his warning sinking deep into their souls. "Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes," the messenger's words shifted, offering a glimmer of hope amidst the darkness. "They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy." To the church in Philadelphia, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In the hushed sanctuary of the church in Philadelphia, the congregation gathered, their hearts open and eager for the words that would come. A new messenger stood before them, his presence commanding attention as he began to speak. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David." His voice rang out with a sense of reverence. The listeners leaned in, captivated by his solemn proclamation. "What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds." The messenger's voice carried a tone of knowing, as if he could see into the depths of their souls. The congregation held their breath, awaiting his next words. "I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." His words filled the room with a sense of promise and possibility. "I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." A murmur of affirmation rippled through the assembly, a quiet acknowledgement of their steadfast faith. "I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan come and fall down at your feet." His voice grew resolute, a note of divine justice underscoring his words. "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world." "I am coming soon," the messenger's voice rang out with certainty. "Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." His words resonated with a sense of urgency, urging them to stand firm in their faith. "The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God." His voice softened slightly, carrying a hint of reverence for those who remained steadfast. "Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." His final words lingered in the air, a call to heed the message delivered to them. "I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth." To the church in Laodicea, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other, so, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The messenger's voice reverberated through the grand hall of the church in Laodicea, his words cutting through the air with a sharp clarity that left no room for misinterpretation. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. His voice carried a weight of authority that demanded attention. The congregation sat on edge, awaiting the message that would soon be delivered to them. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. The messenger's voice held a note of disappointment, as if he expected more from them. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Murmurs of unease rippled through the assembly, a collective realization dawning on their faces as his words sank in. They shifted uncomfortably in their seats, grappling with the stark assessment laid before them. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. The messenger's voice held a tinge of sorrow. His words struck a chord within them, exposing the true state of their hearts laid bare. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. His words carried a glimmer of hope amidst the stark truth he had unveiled. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. His voice softened slightly, a note of compassion underscoring his admonition. The congregation sat in silence, pondering his words and weighing the path set before them.